Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 10 in our teaching on the Book of Revelation titled Holy Spirit Invasion. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Just trying to provoke his presence a little this morning. To come to church without the presence of God, that is really going to be a dull day, don't you think? We all had a bath and put on clean clothes. Went to a lot of trouble to come. I think we need to make the best of it. I think we need to get all out of this day that we can get. And it is a spiritual phenomena of the presence of God. So we'll start today in the book of Revelation. We've left the six seals of Revelation chapter 6. The sixth seal, the four horsemen we covered last week, of this devastating things that's going to come against this earth. Truly, you can look on the news, you can look outside, you can talk to anybody. God forbid, but you can even go on Facebook. And you can see that this earth, things are changing. And we do know that things are even getting darker. Have they been dark before? The answer is yes, they've been dark before. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, with Nebuchadnezzar, that was a pretty dark day. But we find that Daniel, in that dark day, in that pagan city, we see that Daniel reigned. Daniel progressed. Daniel was the second greatest man in that pagan city. All because he trusted his God. So even though we see everything around us and is getting darker and darker, it gives us the opportunity to be brighter and to brighter, get brighter. The challenge is just greater, that's all. But not only is the challenge greater, God has promised us that we can carry more light than there is darkness. Darkness cannot outshine the light of God. So, we find ourselves in this place. We have, I would say, the greatest day of the church is upon us. The greatest day of the church. It's the greatest day of the church. There is more need of the gospel today than has ever been. There has never been a need any greater than today for the gospel. Now, the only thing we need to check up on is, are we given the gospel? Now, we believe the gospel, but do we have enough sense to give away the gospel? That is our question. So as we're getting into chapter 7, we're getting into a a point here. It's called a parenthetical. Chapter 7 is called parenthetical verses, which means, just think of the word parentheses. Now, we went through, in chapter 6, six seals. There are seven seals, but we've been through six, and then we come on chapter 7. In chapter 7 of the parenthetical chapter, I've got it titled here, The Saved of the Tribulation Period. Now, the saved, do I think that we are in the tribulation period? The answer is no. We are not in the 7 years tribulation period. Are we in tribulation? Yes. I explained to you 2 weeks ago and last week also how the spirit of these ages are with us. They're here. Well, there'll be an actual day that we can point to and say, yes, this is that horseman. The answer is yes. Are they all released? Yes, they are. But the spirit of them are here. Excuse me. So, as a little review, this is the book of Revelation. You remember this. We got four accounts of the second coming of Christ in the book of Revelation. We got four accounts here. Now, I'm also going to show you some verses today where in the book of Matthew 24, you'll be able to see, and the scriptures will make more sense to you in Revelation, what Jesus was saying in Matthew 24. Jesus was speaking of that. So we got these four accounts of the second coming in Revelation. We got the four sets of sevens. Y'all remember that. We got the seven churches, which we have already done. We got the seven churches, and that's chapters 1, chapters 2, chapters 3 of Revelation. Then in chapter 4, it takes on a new light. Not only that, in chapter 4, the churches are not mentioned again until the last of the book of Revelation. Why do some believe that that's when the church is raptured out? It's for that reason plus other reasons or some other reasons, but that's just one. The church isn't mentioned. All of a sudden, now the focus turns back onto Israel again in chapter 4. It's a view of heaven, and then you get into 6 and 7, you get into the seals. It's more of a view of Israel, and we'll see this today. The seven seals we call the long story, which we've done six of them. And the trumpets we call the shorter story. And then the plagues or the vials or bowls we call the shortest story. And there again, some thinks it's a seven-year tribulation. Others says that's probably focuses more on the last 3.5 years. But in the book of Revelation, I'm asking it not to booger you. Booger is a redneck term for scare, for those of you that don't know. Don't want it to scare you. Don't want it to shake you. Because the book of Revelation is not that hard to understand. It brings revelation to, there again, a lot of what Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew. So we got the seven churches, and we got the seven trumpets. I mean the seven seals, which we're now in. Revelation chapter 7 is it's a parenthesis in the chronological order of Revelation. It's a parenthesis. Went through the four horsemen, through the sixth seal. Now we find ourselves at the end of the sixth seal. All of a sudden, before we get to the seventh seal, the Holy Spirit's going to insert something. And what it's going to insert, well, let me get to the scripture, then I'll show you. He also speaks about the winds are symbols. Now, we'll get in there. Let's say that there was an angel of the four winds. We're going to read here in just a minute. We're going to see the four winds. I was going to go through some of those four winds, and my computer this morning completely locked down after I got through my second wind. I didn't think I was going to get my slides. I did, but I got a bad wind from somewhere. I don't know where it was. The winds are symbols of God's judgment of the earth, and the four angels are restraining agents who hold back the judgment until God's special servants can be sealed. There again, we get some scripture confused, and I'll show you some of that confusion as we move forward here. The parentheses looks back to the same time period that is covered in the six seals. So we got the four horsemen, the next two seals, 5 and 6. This parenthesis is just going back during that period, giving us more information about what happened during the first six seals being opened. Are you with me now? So it starts off like this. We have four angels. We have four winds. And remember, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. So we've got these four angels, four winds. A lot of times it speaks about the four corners of the earth. So we know that it's speaking about, when you speak about four winds, we also know that it's speaking about the entire earth. Four winds, four corners. It's the whole earth. It's not just the United States. It's speaking about the whole earth. And I can't read that scripture. I was afraid that'd be too light, but I've got my Bible. Have you got your Bibles? It's a good place to use one in church, so bring your Bibles, if you will. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. I did a lot of it in that. I was afraid I maybe couldn't see it, but it didn't make any difference. If you would turn in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 7, and we're going to read the first verse. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Remember symbols. We've got earth, we've got sea, and we've got tree. Now, these angels were waiting for orders from God. We've got the six seals, parentheses. God's going to stick this information in there as these four horsemen are coming upon the earth. We got four angels up here, four winds, and they're waiting to hear orders from God. Their job at this moment was to control these four winds until God said, release them. In Greek, the idea is it's like a horse at a starting gate. It's ready to run. It's ready to go. So it's like the four angels are holding back the readiness of these winds. The wrath is held back until those who must be sealed are sealed. Now, that gives us an idea. These four winds are being held back. We got four horsemen coming. But we see in the midst of that, that the four winds are being held back by angels until something happens. Now, anytime God holds back His wrath, it's called the grace of God. We are living in what the Bible calls the day of grace. So what does that tell you? God's holding back His wrath from us today, just like He will at the beginning of the tribulation period. There's a reason. Now, if you can just see it, the church age is a mystery, Ephesians 3. It wasn't spoken about. This day that we are living in, the Scripture says, was a secret. The time that Revelation's speaking about was prophecy. So instead of dividing your Bible at Old Testament and New Testament, which is fine, but I'd like you to consider another division, prophecy and mystery. Mystery is something that was a secret. But prophecy gives us spiritual understanding of what God does in the secret. Prophecy gives understanding of what God does in the secret. Now, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we see here at the beginning of the book of Revelation that God is holding back His wrath to give some grace out. We are living in a day that the wrath's held. The reason God didn't squash Hitler was so He could save you. You've heard me say this, some of you. The reason God's wrath is not coming down on all sinners is so us sinners can get saved. So if God would have commanded judgment on Hitler, He'd have to command judgment on Alan. Are you with me? So you've got to understand we're in the day of God's grace and His mercy. God's wrath is holding back. I've heard people say God's judging America. I said, no, He's not. When He does, you won't have to ask me if He's judging America. You'll know He's still holding back His wrath. Why? It's for a reason. It's not for us to sit in a corner and say, we got by with this one. It's because we're supposed to go out with the gospel and bring people in. There's not but one problem that a church can have. There's just one. Just one, if you just fix this one problem, everything else will come in line. A church is supposed to be birthing people into the kingdom. Now, if you're not birthing people into the kingdom, you're going to have all kinds of problems. Because you haven't got anything else to do but sit around and argue Scripture. Criticize one another and everybody else is doing it wrong. That's all there's left. But a church that is birthing people in the kingdom while God is holding back His wrath is a church, the only problems they have is where they can put the people. And when you're dealing with those problems, you don't have all these religious problems that the dark side wants us to stay in to see if who's the smartest and who's the most right and who split it right and connected it right. Listen, when I've been in an outpouring of God before, you could say the gospel backwards and people will get saved. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. So what are we after? What's our purpose? We have got to get a hold of God's holding back His wrath. And if He's holding back His wrath, He's given us permission to be busy about doing something. If we're not doing that something, when we get to heaven, they're going to say, oh, y'all were the ones that didn't get the wrath and y'all sat around and did nothing. That's who y'all are. Y'all are from the church of do nothing. Wow. I wonder where that corner is in heaven. It's the truth. We do not recognize the day in which we're living. God is withholding His wrath. You can say, well, Alan, I don't know how to give the gospel. The power to give it is there. If you don't give it, yes, you can give it. You can be empowered to give it. Because God's Spirit is here to give it. I'm going to show you. He held back His wrath. Now, we know that there were some winds in Genesis 8:1. Got the four winds on the four corners. So here the winds come and it drives back the water. It says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. So here we see, we got the wind of God. We got four winds in the beginning of seven. We got one wind. It comes here and it drives out. It changes the waters of the earth. The second one here is the one of Noah. You know about, Moses. You know the part in the Red Sea? The wind came, parted the Red Sea. One I did not get was, you know, in Ezekiel, you know the one about the dry bones? The four winds come and they blow upon the dry bones. That's where my computer locked down. It didn't get it. And then I was going to go from there to Acts 2. And they were in the upper room. And then all of a sudden there was a sound like a mighty wind. You remember that?
Yeah.
It had come. So once we see wind moving, we know that it's speaking about the Holy Spirit. You want to know who parted the waters? It's the Holy Spirit. You don't know who dried up the water from the earth? It was the Holy Spirit. You know who's going to blow upon the dry bones? It's the Holy Spirit. And do you know who is going to come upon us in the upper room and act like we got life when we're dead? It's the Holy Spirit. Can you see how our own selfishness is indeed the enemy to the Holy Spirit? Can you see how our own egos and how much we know and who we think we are? And it's amazing how much pride is in the body of Christ. Can you see how it's an enemy to the working of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that comes upon you to give the gospel. Say it backwards. If you're under the anointing of the Spirit and you ask Him to be with you, it will work. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces the hearts of men and of women. Listen, everyone in this room, no exceptions, right now, have issues in your life that will cause you to think, well, I need more of the gospel first before I can give it away. I've got these things happening in my life that are huge. I've got Goliaths in my life. They're bigger than me. All of us have got them. There's no exceptions. But there was something about David as a shepherd. When he went to slay Goliath, he didn't get up that morning to slay Goliath. He got up that morning, went to check out on the army. He went to serve somebody. Right there's where you say amen. He went to serve somebody. And when he served somebody, he got called into battle. And the Holy Ghost was with him and he slayed a giant. Can anybody see it? The people we're to take the gospel to have got Goliaths too. So as we serve others, David killed someone else's giant. What does that mean? That means if you love me, you can kill Goliaths in my life. If I love and serve you, I can kill Goliaths in your life. But have you noticed how it's hard to kill your own Goliath? We need each other. How is it done? It's done through the power. The church has got to have the power. The Goliaths are bigger than you. It's impossible. Here we see the four winds held back, coming upon the earth. It says this in verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth and the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Let me ask you something. I'm just going to pull one randomly here. Trees. Somebody tell me where else the word tree as a symbol jumps out to you in the Scriptures. Okay, where else? Where? Yes, Eden. Mustard seed. I go Psalms. Trees of righteousness, right? You got Psalms 1, I'll use that one. A tree by the river. How does that scripture read? Yeah, it grains strength. It says tree. All right, now keep that in mind as we move forward. The great angel that seals them is linked here with the rising of the sun. Now, just remember the symbols of trees and the sea and the earth. We're going to circle back to it. Here it's talking about there's four angels, but here comes one angel. One angel coming. With that one angel, you got four holding back the winds, holding back the wrath, holding back the Holy Spirit from bringing the wrath. Got one big angel comes flying in. Now, this one is linked, it says, with the rising of the sun. That is an allusion to the prophecy of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. The prophet predicts that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. Remember that scripture? Now, who's that speaking of? Speaking of Christ. So here we got one angel coming in, or like an angel, a heavenly being. Probably Christ. In Malachi, it's a description of the coming of Christ in great glory and power. Now, verse 2 again. He says that this other angel has a seal of the living God. A seal. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Here we see prophecy, which is a shadow or gives information on the mystery. I can look into the prophecy and see reflection. Here I see in prophecy that tribulation period, God's holding back His wrath. In the day of grace, we know God is holding back His wrath. Here we got some people, an angel's going to seal some servants. He's going to seal who? Some servants. If I speak to you about the day of grace sealed, it should give you something. What is the seal? The Holy Spirit Himself is the seal of God. So here we got an angel going to bring in a seal. What's the seal? It's the Holy Spirit. You see, these servants have got to get the seal or the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit comes on the earth, lest they be destroyed. Have you got it? They're fixing to get the seal. So as the winds come, they aren't destroyed. What is their seal? It's the Holy Spirit. Look at it. Paul says it like this in Ephesians. You were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There again, even though we're living in this day, the world's raging. Are the four winds released? No. Are the spirit of the four horsemen running? Yes. But we have a seal, a promise of the Holy Spirit to not be destroyed by this darkness. There again, prophecy was spoken about. Mystery was not. We get a reflection of mystery through prophecy. So we see here that we're sealed. Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So here we see that our spirit is to bear witness with His Spirit. So you're going to have these servants of God that are running around in the tribulation period with the seal of God. Are you with me? Why does this angel have to take in the Holy Spirit? It gives us all indications that the Holy Spirit's been pulled out. There again, a reason that some people believe the rapture takes place at the beginning of chapter 4, that the church is taken out. Because now we see that Jesus Himself comes and has to insert the Holy Spirit back into servants of God. These servants of God will be the ones that evangelize the earth in the tribulation period. The greatest revival of all times in the tribulation period. Is anybody interested in it? Far out. Everybody's wanting to run and get out of it. If you're the one that wants to see the great awakening, the big one, the other great awakenings in the day of grace, every revival today is not spoken about. The one that's spoken about is the one in tribulation. I can read about that one, but it gives me a reflection of what I can't see in the day of grace. Is there to be a great awakening today? Yes, many of them. Now, this indicates that this group, which is to be sealed, are Spirit-filled individuals. But we know in the 7 years tribulation that the Holy Spirit's taken out. Here we see an angel's going to put it back in the hearts of servants. Who are these servants? The seal is placed upon their foreheads, which indicates the Spirit is especially related to their minds. We already been given scripture for that in Philippians. Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. When you have the Word of God, the presence of God, when you have all this in your mind, you have the seal. Does anybody see it? We are sealed. Sealed for what? Sealed to be servants. Servants of what? The gospel. It's not that complicated. You don't have to have a spiritual ranking on your shoulder. Now, these people are specifically called the servants of our God. Key word there is servants. Didn't say professional Christians. Didn't say high priest. Doesn't say somebody with PhDs and everything else on theology. It says the servants of our God. Now, how many of us can be guilty of that? All of us. How can we not be guilty of that? Because we're serving ourselves. I want to be noticed. I want this. I want that. It's servants that gets the seal. What does a seal do? A seal protects what's inside. If you feel like you're out from under protection, it's because your seal's broken. Anybody getting it? When the seal's in place, which is the mind of Christ, the contents will be preserved, unharmed. If the seal's broken, the contents become spoiled. In other words, if anybody else partakes of you, they'll become sick. Uh-oh. What's the seal? It's the mind of Christ. To do what? To be a servant. To do what? To take the gospel. Why? Because we're in the day of grace and God's holding back His wrath. Everybody with me? Let's move on. Then He said He sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. 2 Corinthians. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a cotton-picking, money-back guarantee. This thing's getting stronger and stronger. Why do you need a guarantee on something? It's in case it goes bad, it's still good. What he's saying here, let me shorten it down. The enemy's going to come to you and tell you that the Holy Ghost in you's bad, it's no good, it doesn't work. You just show him your guarantee. That's what you do. You show him your guarantee. You got one. But yet we allow the enemy to come to us and tell us all of this stuff that we're not. Well, I know I'm not. But I also know I got a guarantee. I'm going to use my guarantee. How about you? And he goes on, Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promised. Sealed there again. Everywhere you start seeing the word Holy Spirit, you're going to see it sealed. Not only that, God's the one that's going to seal it. And he moves on a little bit, and let's see what I got up here next. The angel is the one that comes to those servants with the wind. Jesus is the one who baptizes them in the Spirit. It's 144,000 if I got time to get into them here. So Jesus is the fifth angel, got four holding the winds back. He got this other angel, comes in with this wind, and he blows into these servants on the earth, this wind. Jesus baptizes in them the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the one that baptizes them. I want you to see this. When you become born again, we baptize in water. And then Jesus, though, that's a symbol that Jesus Himself has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's not the baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit baptizes you or places you into the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. So, Jesus is the wind that blows into our hearts. You can be sitting in the service or you can be anywhere, and all of a sudden you get a witness in the Spirit. Kind of takes your breath. Makes you start leaking up here. You'll cry. You can feel it. You don't know where the wind came from, but you know it comes from somewhere. Starts stirring your heart. You can feel it. Makes you want to jump up and do something. You're not sure what you want to do. You'd cut a cartwheel if you didn't have arthritis. You all know what I'm talking about. It's that wind. It's that witness of that wind. It's the witness of that Spirit. Do I think if you've been born again, you got the Holy Spirit baptized in it? Yes, I do, because Jesus is the one who did it. Now, do I think you can get a lot of wind blown on you through life? Yes, I do. But the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus baptized you in His Spirit. That's what the Word says. Now, somebody should be excited right there. Matthew 3:10 says this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. In other words, what does the preacher do? He preaches us unto repentance. That's his job. If he doesn't make us want to repent, he's not doing his job. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and... Oh, wow! What's he speaking about? Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 6, when the horsemen start riding, he said the fire is going to come to the earth. Prophecy I can read, mystery I can't read. I can look at prophecy and get a reflection. In this day of grace, when I was baptized in the Spirit by Jesus Himself, I got His Spirit and I got some fire. Has anybody felt the fire on them lately? Don't kick it too bad. It's to refine you. It has to be. He can't give us lollipops and donuts the rest of our life to help us do better. It just flat doesn't work. So He's given us a Spirit with the fire, which means, since I have the Spirit, I can endure the fire. I can be in the fire and still rejoice. I can be in the fire and not be scorched. I can be in the fire and be purified. Good news is, you're being purified. Bad news is, you're going to burn. Somebody, just a wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. Or ouch. I'm just telling you what you're experiencing. That's all the Word's doing. It's just telling you, it's giving you sense to what's happening. Now, Mark 1:8. I indeed baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will do what? baptize you with what? He will baptize you just one day? Forever. It keeps going. I have people say, well, Alan, I got the baptism now. Well, I don't. Well, mine had never quit. I got one of them on running baptisms. Yeah. Are you with me? Anybody grasping what that scripture's saying? I'm not going to argue with you if you can get it or if you can't get it. If you get it once, you get it twice. The only thing I can tell you is you're supposed to be on running with it. You need to be under the spout that the glory runs out all the time. Say, well, Alan, I can't pull that one off. Well, you maybe can't, but get back to it anyway. Argue with yourself later. The scripture says it's there. The day that we're living in, we can't afford a bunch of long-lipped Christians. We can't afford it. The gospel can't afford it. It can't afford us whining, complaining, talking how bad the devil is. No, I know all that. But I got something greater to rejoice about. I've got an ongoing baptism of Jesus putting into me His Spirit, which is life. And I think others want what I got. You say, well, Alan, it's unreachable. No, it's not. The question is, how far are we from it? Well, I didn't get to where I was going, but I got to there. So we're going to stop till next week. Now, if you're interested in more, come on back next week. And I ain't going to promise you nothing, but come on back anyway. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today. We thank You for the power of Your Spirit. We thank You that You baptize Your people in Your Spirit. Lord, don't let us be baptized in the spirit of the world, spirit of selfishness, of unkindness, of greed, of super egos. Let us be baptized in Your Spirit so that we can be guilty of being true servants of the Most High God. Let us try to outserve each other and outserve You, O God. And we have faith that You'll take care of the rest. We love You. Thank You for Your Word. And just baptize this service as we go into worship. Lord Jesus, do it because You're God, not because we're a bunch of long-lipped, sad-looking people. Do it because You're God, and we want what You got, God. We want Your Spirit, Your power, Your presence, Your joy.
Yes, Lord.
We know the world's in tough shape, but we know that You're in good shape.
That's right.
So let us have part of You today, O God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.